I'm guessing that when most of us imagine gathering together all of the characters we need to tell the story of Christmas for our creche, perhaps, we know that we need Mary and Joseph, and we'll eventually need the baby Jesus, which, by the way, at MCC Portland does not show up until Christmas Eve. We have not misplaced the baby Jesus. It's intentional. We know we need Mary and Joseph, the angels and the shepherds, the wise men and the star, a post-Christmas story that we wrap into Christmas. But we are likely to forget that we also need John the Baptist. Not only does the miraculous conception and birth of John the Baptizer precede the familiar story of the birth of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, but as adults, John and Jesus, as in the passage we hear today, John as an adult is the forerunner of Jesus. But our Christmas preparations forget him rather easily. And maybe it's because during these weeks and these days that we have hopeful and joyful preparation for the arrival of Christmas, in charges John the Baptist and crashes our party preparations. Yet each Advent, the call of John the Baptizer remains part of our Christmas preparation, even if it's a part we might rather avoid. Because John's Advent message boils down to this: if you really want to prepare the way, if you really want to be ready for heaven drawing near, you will have to change. That's news that we typically avoid. Before the start of Jesus' ministry, around the Jordan River, this strange fellow that we call John the Baptizer had been preaching and teaching powerfully, so powerfully that people were wondering if he himself might be the promised Messiah, if he might be the great prophet Elijah returned. His message and his challenge for people to change and be baptized was so compelling that apparently it had become a spiritual trend. Crowds of regular people, even religious leaders themselves, came for baptism by John in the Jordan. And we later learn that even Jesus himself received the baptism of John. John the Baptizer alarms us with his eccentric diet and clothing and his confrontive words. Rather than reassuring us that we can happily sit back and enjoy the arrival of a time of warmth and light, he proclaims, "Prepare the way," and doesn't wish us a cheerful, happy holiday or peace on earth, but says, "Repent! The kingdom of heaven has come near." I imagine that is why we don't see Christmas cards with a precious moments John the Baptist or his words in gold glitter, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Merry Christmas." These bracing words of John the Baptist confront us with an uncomfortable truth. The arrival of God's presence demands our transformation. Repent, which was the core of the message of John the Baptizer and a core that Jesus himself later expands upon, is one of those troublesome words and ideas that we always need to pause and remember that it's not as toxic as we've often heard it used. Because the Greek word behind the English word repent is metanoia, which quite simply means to turn around, to change one's mind, one's direction, to change heart, change course, turn around, even on a deep level, transform. We hear it sometimes as judgment, but it's a message of opportunity. It is an invitation. And I don't know about you, but I welcome the reminder that I can turn around when I feel lost. I'm glad to remember that if I feel stuck, I can start over again. that I can make a turn and I can end up in a better destination than the course I'm on. Turning is a life principle, and repentance, therefore, a spiritual principle I do not want to live without. This call of John the Baptizer comes during our pre-Christmas busyness as a wake-up call, I think, when our eyes are distracted by, oh, something shiny over there. Our ears are lulled to sleep by sweet but over-familiar carols. It reawakens us to pay attention to what we say we proclaim all season long, the very realm of heaven. The embodied presence of God is drawing near in Jesus Christ. Turn, you might miss it. Change, or you won't be ready. The holiday season doesn't seem to be a popular time for changing things up for many of us. Our deepest patterns can show themselves at this time of the year, can't they? Sometimes they're beautiful and warm and happy patterns, pulling out treasured decorations that remind us of warm and tender memories. Sometimes they are broken and wounded patterns, like compulsory contact with relationships that have pained us and dredge up old hurt. Yet do we repeat those patterns, good or bad, because it's the way we've always done it before? It's how we know it's Christmas. That's what Christmas feels like. The poem by Joan Richardson uses the image of people turning to stone, fixed, unmovable, frozen in their shape, in their pattern. And John's words wash over us as do the baptizing waters. Do you really want to be ready for the Christ of Christmas? Do it differently. Wash away what's in the way. Advent is sometimes called the winter Lent, being a winter parallel to those weeks in spring for spiritual preparation for the Easter resurrection. Both seasons anticipate the two biggest celebrations of the Christian story. So as a winter Lent, Advent invites us into a time for self-examination. But you know, as we get ready for Christmas, for most of us, it can be a time of more and more things. Our calendars get busier with gatherings and rehearsals and parties, with more and more social and family obligations. We add more decorations to our churches and our homes and our office spaces. Each Sunday, we light one more candle. In many ways, getting ready for Christmas is adding to, doing more than other times of the year. Now, none of those things in and of themselves are wrong, but it's worth noticing. A winter Lent would mean to get ready means less and not more. In our busy world, our hurried life, our crowded hearts, is there space for God to show up? There's a birth on the way. Is there room for the baby? You know, we celebrated with Abby and Christy and their family, Olivia. I was like, wow, that's a change. Sorry, you can't see that there is a toddler, all of a sudden a toddler. No, wow, it's a miracle. I'll pay no attention while I just like spin off into some weird spot. Okay. It was such a pleasure to celebrate with Abby and Christy this morning and the arrival of a baby in their family. Now, I have not talked directly to Christy and Abby about this, but I can only imagine that the last year has been a year of space making. Moving stuff around, tucking things out of the way. Now, it was not just creating important space in their hearts. They had to create space in their home. They had to create space in their work schedule and their calendar for appointments and time off to be with a new baby. And let's face it, there were months of Abby's body making space. And I imagine it was not an entirely comfortable experience making space for the new birth. They had created an Olivia-shaped space that is now filled by her arrival. This season, are you creating a God-shaped space in your life for that arrival that is celebrated in only a few weeks? Are you creating a God-shaped space for that arrival? As a sign that you believe there is actually a deeper meaning about what you're preparing for, as I've suggested before, prepare the way by doing less. To remind yourself to make more space. Maybe mail one less card, maybe buy one less gift, maybe attend one less party, maybe turn down the volume of the Christmas carols once or twice. Whatever it is in your life. And I'll suggest if that sounds impossible to do in your life or in my life, then we need it really desperately. If it sounds impossible, you need it all the more. We may need a little bit of repentance around our busyness to be ready. We all too easily forget, but we very much need John the Baptizer for Christmas preparation, because we are always in need of his reminder, not only the reminder that heaven draws near, but that we may need to prepare a little bit differently to recognize and receive it.